Hallelujah. I've got news for you. I'm not kicking quite as high either. I missed that one. I'm not kicking near as high as I used to kick either. When I lit out here one night, wasn't Friday night, but one of those nights I lit out of here and took a Charlie horse, a cramp or something in my right foot down through there. And by the time I got on the other side of the house, I cut it short and cut behind Brother Shelby back there, Brother Cater. And then by the time I got over here in that aisle, I done had a cramp in my left foot. And so I'm not as young as I used to be. But I'm telling you, I'm still going to take a lap every now and then when I feel good. Praise God, and if I have to, I'll hobble around on a crutch. Amen. And you can't never tell halfway around with me. Throw down them crutches. Hallelujah. Walk all right. Not be like John, you know, John fell down. That's a joke. I'm not going to take time to tell the joke, all right? So we won't take time to tell that one. Amen. But isn't it good to be saved, be in the Lord's house? Thank God, I'm telling you, it's just good to know the Lord. And I've got a little old cream puff, sugar stick, 3 points and a poem, simple little old stuff. And we're out of here tonight. I mean, my outlines are simple. I look at some of these big elaborate outlines some of these preachers preach, and I think, my goodness, I don't see how our people managed to even have any grace about them at all with the little old flimsy outlines I come up with. But I do my best, I assure you that. And you know, I won't say this to you tonight, there's a big difference in passing through and doing a little preaching than there are staying there and doing a little preaching. The pastor has got a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. And a whole lot of it is just practical Christianity. Amen. Practical living. And a lot of it is exciting, but there's a lot of it that's not really too exciting either. Amen. But it's still the Word of God, and it still needs to be preached and taught, and it still needs to be lived, adhered to. Amen. It's all the Bible. That book said we ought to preach the whole counsel of God. All, every bit of it. Preach the whole counsel. And I don't know if we can ever get that done when you consider the counsel of God. Amen. Now, that's saying a whole lot. Anything about Him is a whole lot. Right. The counsel of God's got a whole lot of exhortation, a whole lot of rebuke and reproof along with it. And I don't know that we'll ever preach it all or not. I doubt seriously that I'll ever get the job done. I'll just be honest. And I'm in my 18th year here trying to preach through this Bible. Amen. And doing my best to give you the Word of God. And some of it's been decent, some of it's been all right, and some of it's been plumb pitiful. But that's the way it goes. You know, sometimes it's high and sometimes it's low. Sometimes it's in between. Sometimes a little far on the right, sometimes it may seem a little on the left. But I've done the best way that I can. I've handled it the best. I do not want to be guilty of handling the Word of God deceitfully. Amen. What Paul said. Don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. I don't want to ever be guilty of that. I'd rather not preach something than to preach it deceitfully or preach it wrong knowingly. I'd never preach anything out of this book knowingly wrong. Never. Not one time. I'd hate to stand before God having done that. That'd be terrible. Have to stand before God knowing that you misused the Word of God and in doing so abused the people of God. I don't want to ever be guilty of that. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to preach out a couple of verses there along the lines of where we left off the last time we was here in this book and try to bring a little old brief thought, very simple things, and maybe God will touch it a little bit and we'll get something for our soul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and when you find that place, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read it, verse 1. It doesn't take long to read these few little verses down through here that I want to read, and we'll start in verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. I'd love to preach from that if God would have given me the liberty to do so, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading tonight. Let's pause to pray just for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight, Lord, for the Word of God that you've given us, this wonderful portion of Bible, Lord, out of Thessalonians. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring Paul to sit down and pen this, that we might use it even today for our learning and for our admonition, for instruction in righteousness, for correction to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people of God that are here tonight. I pray that you'll bless me tonight and help me, Lord, that I might be a blessing to them. I pray for liberty and unction and power. I do pray, Lord, for wisdom tonight. I pray that you'd touch me just a little and enable me physically and spiritually, Lord, to preach tonight with power. And I'd ask you to save sinners tonight, revive and bless and help your people. Give grace and victory in every heart, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to take our thought tonight out of verse number 9, really, and not to be lifting anything out of context here, and I'll explain myself, I think, as the message goes on. But Brother Paul said there, but as touching brotherly love. As touching brotherly love. And I'm looking at it in this light of you and I reaching out and touching our brother. There are ways that God's given you and I that we can make a difference in the life of other people. And there is such a thing in the Bible as brotherly love. Love is a beautifying thing. It'll beautify the people of God. Love is a binding thing. We're bound together in the unity of the Spirit by the love of God that has been shed abroad in our heart. And so I want to preach for a little while tonight on that thought, if I might be able to, on reaching out and touching our brother. That is, being a blessing to someone around us, being an inspiration to those that are near us, being an encouragement to those that may be discouraged, being a blessing to those that may be burdened in their heart, carrying their load and being a blessing to them. Now, if we read these verses real carefully, we'll find that Paul is exhorting these people concerning brotherly love. And it is introduced, I want you to get this now, not with a compliment, but with a commendation. Paul is not necessarily complimenting these people, but he is commending these people. And the reason why is because the church is already very remarkable in the exercise of this divine virtue that we call brotherly love. That is to say, ladies and gentlemen, that they are already practicing brotherly love. That's why Paul said that you have no need for me to write to you about this subject. Number one, you're already practicing brotherly love. And number two, he said, the Lord himself, our God, will teach you or has taught you that you ought to love one another. Now, I want to say tonight again, you've heard me say this so many times, that love is the crowning virtue of the people of God. And I believe with all of my heart, if we could learn to love as the Bible teaches us, that our churches would not only be Spirit-filled, but there'd be greater harmony, there'd be greater power, there'd be greater blessing of God and presence of God in the house of God if we'd only learn to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord the way that the Bible tells us we ought to. Now I want you to listen carefully. This virtue is not a mere human virtue. It is not something that can be brought up by our own human abilities. But it is a divine virtue of Almighty God. The Bible does say that God is love. That is to say that love is a work of the grace of God that is going on within our hearts. Oh, I've heard a lot of young people. Are you listening now? I've heard a whole lot of young people look all starry-eyed at one another. And their eyes are fluttering and rolling around. And they're telling one another how they love each other. Now, I'm going to tell you, if the truth was known, it's about 99% lust, ladies and gentlemen. And they know absolutely nothing about the love of God. May I say to you tonight, a lost person cannot really understand the virtue of love as the Bible teaches it. They can have a worldly affection or a natural affection for one another, but really to love. As Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to tell you why the divorce courts are filled up. It's because there's no real love. It is a physical thing that most men and women today are after, and it's really not love, and it's really not a long-term companionship that they're interested in. And I'm going to tell you, when two people love each other, many waters cannot quench love. Love is stronger than death, and that doesn't say what kind of love, whether that's our love for the Savior, our love for our spouse, or our love for one another. It just said many waters cannot quench that love, and neither can floods drown that love. And he says, love is strong as death, is what Solomon said in the Song of Solomon. Anybody listening to me now? I'm telling you, love is a divine virtue. And it is the crowning virtue. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, hey, and I don't know any human that loves with a perfect love. There's only been one ever loved perfectly, and his name was Jesus. He came into the world and he loved the Father. He came into the world and he loved his own. He came into the world and he loved his church. He came into the world and he loved sinners. And he perfectly loved all that deserved love from him with a perfect love. And I don't know any other humans ever been able to love a perfect love. Now you hear me what I'm saying. Some of these fellas are talking about perfection and being perfect. And their idea of being perfect is abstaining from watching television. They don't dance. They don't visit Hollywood. They don't drink. They don't carouse. They don't commit adultery. But I wonder how much of the real love of God they've got in their heart. I wonder how much of that love they show one another. I'm telling you, there's a lot of hate mongers in our Baptist churches, but there's not many lovers of the souls of men in our Baptist churches. Don't tell me how sinlessly perfect you are if you've never arrived in charity. You hear what I'm saying? Charity. That is, hey, that ought to be the goal that we're aiming for. I know the just shall live by faith, but I'm telling you, charity is greater than faith, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Now, don't nobody leave me. Don't nobody leave me. The mutual exercise of love toward the brethren is an indisputable evidence of spiritual regeneration. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. Gentlemen, I don't want to minimize a separated life. Praise God, I don't wear Bermuda shorts, and I don't watch television, and I don't drink liquor, and I don't cuss and gamble. I don't chew tobacco, I don't sniff snuff, and I don't suck on cigarettes. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you can have all of that stuff, and without love, yours a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal before God in the world. Amen. That is right. Now I'm telling you, the independent Baptists are terrible along these lines. Well, I'll say 15, 20 years ago, to be a good Baptist preacher, you had to prove yourself by finding some 85-year-old woman crossing the street, run out, knock her down, steal her pocketbook away from her, and beat her over the head with it, tell her how ungodly she was, and run off down. That's about right now. That's the way most Baptists look at it. I mean, in other words, what I'm saying, they really thought spirituality was getting mean. Brother Sutherland told me out of his own mouth. He said, "Preacher, I've got a fear." He said, "I think a lot of men expect me to live up to a certain image in their what they think I ought to be, and just be a mean preacher and preach on separation and standards all the time." But he said, "I've not been preaching that long, but I'm learning there's a whole lot more in that Bible than separation. And I'm not going to let you off the hook on standards. But I'll tell you, while I'm preaching on standards, I'm going to preach on the love of God also. And I'm going to tell you that you need to love your brother. And I'm going to tell you that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer," is what the Bible said. That's what John said. "The man hate his brother is a murderer." Y'all here in 96, remember Elliot, don't you? Preached out of that very verse. Murderers. Murderers. Man that hates his brother is a murderer. Amen. Animosity in your heart toward a brother, you're a murderer, is what that Bible says. Amen. And so it's pretty good evidence, if you love the brotherhood, love the brethren, that you've been regenerated, you've been saved. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord sent forth the greatest example in all the Bible of how we are to love one another. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, you ought to get rough tonight." Well, it may be rough on some of you, especially if your heart is a tad bit filled up with a little hatred tonight, or a little animosity tonight, or if you got a little bitterness tonight, or if you got a critical spirit tonight, then you're not perfect in your love toward your brethren, and it might be cleaning your plow just a little bit. I'll tell you, our Lord set a perfect example. He said in John 13:34, "New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Can you imagine striving to love your brother in the Lord as Christ loves him? That covers a lot more territory than we're familiar with. That goes into a lot of detail. I'm talking about bearing his burdens. I'm talking about being a blessing to him, helping him, praying for him. And we'll get into some of those things in a minute. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a whole lot to this thing of loving our brother as Christ loves that man. Amen. Some of you just let it run over the top of your head. But you ain't going very far with God. You're stagnant, cold-hearted, and dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And you think that it's lovey-dovey stuff is just for little sissies. I got your old sissy right there, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't charge you nothing for that one. That's free. Amen. John 15:12. The Bible said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you." Now come on in the house. We tithe, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a commandment. We assemble together, ladies and gentlemen, because it's a commandment. He just said, "I have commanded you that you love one another." Why can't we learn to love one another and fulfill the commandment of Christ? Are you listening? Hallelujah. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 5:2. Paul said, "And walk in love as I have walked in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You want to be Christ-like? You want to be a Christian, ladies and gentlemen? There's how to do it. To love as Christ loved, and the way Christ loved was in making sacrifice. Oh yes, he sacrificed. He sacrificed that he might love those of us. I wonder lately how much sacrifice we've made to prove to our brothers that we love them. That's right. He made himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. Because he loved the brotherhood. Amen. And he's not ashamed to be called a brother. You ain't ashamed to be called my brother, are you? I hope not. I'm not ashamed of you. The Lord's not ashamed of you. And he made sacrifice to love you. But how much have we sacrificed for those around us? Are we going to make any sacrifice for the radio marathon this week? We going to make sacrifice and be here and pray? We going to make sacrifice and reach in our pocket and give a little money? We going to make sacrifice and bring a little more food again next week like we done last week? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you're asking too much of me. I've said when you've done all these things, just say you're an unprofitable servant. Amen. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. I'm not demanding too much of you. We don't want to get like a church up in my little hometown. They went to elect officers a few weeks ago. They nominated a lady I've known all of my life, Miss Joanne Taylor. Nominated her for treasurer. And one of the ladies in the church stood up, Mrs. Keeling. I've known her for years. She used to own a supermarket in town. She said, I think those that's nominated for positions, they ought to be faithful to all the services in the house of God. I said, that sounds pretty good. And so they nominated Joanne Taylor for treasurer. And she voted her in. She stood up and after they voted and said, I'll take the job. But don't expect me to be here on Wednesday nights. That's clogging night. That's clogging night. Dancing night. Dancing night. I'm talking about a Baptist church having dancing over the house of God. Dancing over duty. Dancing over responsibility. My God, ladies and gentlemen, there has got to be some sacrifice and an offering on our part if we're going to love the brotherhood and do what God wants us to do. That's right. Hallelujah. Stay right with me now. Love should be practically manifested. Amen. In supplying now, and listen carefully. In supplying as far as means and opportunity allow it. We are to supply each other's needs. Amen. We are to bear one another's burdens. Yes. We are to forgive one another. Even as God also has forgiven us for Christ's sake. Are you living as long as that's possible? And I'm going to tell you if it's needed. I'm going to tell you what some of you men in here need to do. Some of you men in here in brotherly love need to learn to go to folks that you know that are in sin and they're not living right. They're living in sin and kindly rebuke them. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Oh, my dear friend, it is in the Bible. Amen. And by the way, open rebuke is better than secret love. Amen. Hey, somebody said, that's the preacher's job. That's not always necessarily. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things can be avoided being preached from up there if the people in the house of God would learn how to love somebody enough to go to them in love and point out their problem. But I'm going to tell you where the problem's at. Most folks you go to and reprove them, they get mad. They get ticked off. Because they can't see themselves in any wrong. That crowd can't. Are you listening? I'm talking about brotherly love. Amen. Well, if I got out here and done wrong, I'd want somebody to come tell me about it. I'd want you to tell me about it. If I was in sin, I'd want somebody to tell me about it. Reprove me, I'm telling you. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. I get my high skin. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the meeting I was in a couple weeks ago, and something went on Friday morning I didn't like. I did not like. But it wasn't my place to rebuke there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I was kind of ticked off. I just went to my motel room that Friday afternoon, prayed a little bit, sought God's face, read my Bible, went back to camp on Friday afternoon. Are you listening now? Went back again, prayed a little while on Friday night before last service. Went back Friday night, got my place up there, and I'd made up my mind, ladies and gentlemen, I was not going to allow that to disrupt my heart and disrupt my spirit. And because I think I've learned a little bit how to love somebody else when they're wrong, guess what? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I got out in the aisle. I told Brother Steve, I said, Brother Steve on the phone, I said, your pastor cut a monkey shine or two in here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I could have went in there with an old bad attitude and old critical spirit animosity in my heart, raging in my soul. And I'm going to tell you, that blessing would have passed over me like the clouds passed over Madisonville today. And the sun shined again.
Amen.
Absolutely. Is anybody listening?
Amen.
Brotherly love. Touch your brother. Won't you learn to touch your brother's heart? Help your brother a little bit. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. I want to say love cannot be bought. You can't buy it. I've had a lot of men. I'll put it this way. I've had some men that have tried to buy my love. And I'm telling you, you can't buy it. There's just something there that God just doesn't allow. I'm going to tell you what Solomon said. He said, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. I'm telling you, you cannot buy love. You cannot buy the love of God, and you cannot buy brotherly love. Are you listening to me? Brotherly love is something that is wrought in the hearts of individuals and is put there by divine will, and God Almighty is working it out in them to love one another. I'm going to tell you why folks get mad, blow up, and blow out. They're not God's people. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe two people saved by the grace of God. If they're genuinely born again, there's not a problem that they'll ever have between themselves they can't work out. If they're saved. Because see, love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love worketh, doth not work unseemly. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about Christian love with one another.
Amen.
That's right. Love not selfish.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why problems can't be worked out, because folks are selfish.
Amen.
They're proud and they're arrogant. I'm going to have everything my way or else.
Amen.
Randy told me, he said, preacher, one thing I've learned about Brother Sammy Allen. Said, he's not always, it's my way or the highway type of a man. Preaches what he believes. But he said, it's not always my way or the highway. I learned something else I didn't know. One of his members drove all the way to Madisonville and was baptized by Bud Dingle. Now, he's gone. See, it's not just here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I think sometimes you think, well, our church is the only place where things are getting a little dry and people get upset and folks get mad. Oh, no, I'm telling you, it's a universal thing. I'm telling you, what I'm preaching not ought to be preached every Baptist church in the country, because most people do not know bats about how to love one another. Are you listening to me? You can't buy love. You can't buy God's love. You can't buy man's love. There've been a whole lot of men that have tried to buy a son-in-law's love or a daughter-in-law's love. Can't be done. I'm going to tell you how it can be done. Come on in the house and I'm going to tell you. If you want somebody to love you, love them.
Amen.
It's hard to despise and hate somebody that already loves you, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to speak evil about somebody that has only done you good all the time. Oh, you might come up with some little lame crutch idea, but it won't hold water.
Amen.
You can't lightly say anything against a man that has loved you and prayed for you.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you can't have hatred in your heart towards somebody and get down and pray for them.
Right.
Oh, you've got to have a little love in there in your heart to pray for somebody. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we're not praying for sinners. No, not much love there. That's why we're not praying for one another. There's not much love there. I said love cannot be bought. I won't say secondly, love cannot. Love is divinely wrought by God. Now, I won't spend much time here. Jeremiah 31:33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and write it in their, put my inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. God said, I'm going to put that covenant right there in the heart. I'm going to tell you what will make you love. The Word of God written in tables of your heart. Not on fleshly tables of stone, ladies and gentlemen, but in the fleshly tables of a man's heart. I said the fleshly tables of stone. I meant the hard tables of stone. But written in the fleshly tables in man's heart. You get the Word of God in your heart, it won't let you despise one another. It won't let you defraud one another. It won't let you hate one another. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll make you love one another. Oh, yeah. Sang that old song in the morning. This morning, 'tis the old time religion.
Yes.
Makes me want to love everybody.
Yes.
Amen. Makes me want to love everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Great God. I'm going to tell you why. It's God's love. It's not your love. It's God's love reaching out to them and loving them. That's exactly right. It is God's love. God is love, and that love in you is God Himself reaching out. I'm giving you something pretty good tonight if you put it down. It's God Himself reaching out of your heart to somebody else. Let God reach out. Touch your brother today. Touch your brother tomorrow and your sister tomorrow by the love of God. Let God love them through you.
Amen
to God. That's right. So love can't be bought. Love is divinely wrought. And love is divinely taught.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Said in verse 9, for ye yourselves are taught of God.
Amen.
To love one another. Now I'm here tonight. I want you to know what I'm getting ready to say. I'm here tonight trying to teach you.
Yep.
About the love of God. I'm trying to teach you about the love of God. But the teaching of the Holy Spirit will exceed the teaching of man. But I'll say this, if the Holy Ghost has taught you how to love, it will make the man of God's job a whole lot easier. If God is already at work in there, if God's on the throne, if God's teaching you how to love, it'll be an easy job for the man of God to confirm what God has already put in your heart. That's basically all I'm doing. If you're saved tonight, I'm confirming what God's already put in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. For the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you.
Amen.
Are you listening? Paul said, love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
Remember me preaching that, Miss Gwen? At Light of Calvary?
Amen.
I seen four or five of them come walking in like penguins following one another. A family, a whole family, that had almost ostracized their own son.
Amen.
And I preached that one night, and I preached on Romans there on fulfilling the law of God by loving your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the next night that family come in and claim they made amends with that boy.
Amen.
God help a mommy or daddy that will have hatred in their heart toward their own child or their own children, ladies and gentlemen. Simply because they don't live up to their expectations. I've got news for you. I set high expectations for my children. And I love every one of them, but I've got to be quite frank. They ain't one of them lived up to what I'd like to see out of them. I ain't even lived up to what I want to see out of myself. I thank God that they're in church and they're faithful in the house of God. But I'd like to see them on fire. When I took that lap tonight, I'd like seen them taking a lap.
Amen.
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 That's right. But I'm not going to ostracize my own children.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm going to love them.
Amen.
God help a mom and daddy that'll despise their own children.
Amen.
Because they're not living where you think they ought to live. Maybe they're not got what you got.
Amen.
They may be a false professor or claim to be saved, and they're lost and without God.
Amen.
I wouldn't put much confidence in a youthful, real, real, extremely youthful profession. That's right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there are some things you've got to understand to be saved.
Amen.
You've got to understand you're a sinner. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if 3 or 4 year old kids understand fully they're a sinner.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to understand who Christ is.
Amen.
And you've got to understand a little about what Christ done and how He interceded for you and died for you on the cross. Well, them kids, when they made them early professions, they may not have it. Every one of mine made them early.
Amen.
And every one of them got saved, too.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Don't drive a kid to the altar.
Amen.
Let God lead them there.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost draw them there.
Amen.
Show them that you love them by praying for them and let God draw them to the altar.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. Listen to what Christ said about how we're to conduct ourselves in Matthew 5:41-42. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him a half a mile. My Bible said go 20.
Amen.
If somebody compels you to do something for them, do it twice as much.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boy. Are you there?
Amen.
Have you reached that place in your life?
Right.
I asked Brother George for one cheese ball. Would you give me two?
Amen. Amen.
If I asked y'all for some more of them fajitas and chiquitas, and for one of them, would you give me a pan full of them?
Amen.
Are you listening now?
Amen.
I'm still eating on meatloaf.
Amen.
Had it for lunch today. Are y'all listening now? If your neighbor compels you to go a mile, don't just go a mile with that man. Go 2 miles with him.
Amen.
What the Bible said, give to him that asketh of thee.
Amen.
In other words, don't be tight.
Amen.
Don't be greedy. Don't be selfish.
Amen.
Learn to be givers.
Amen.
God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
Learn to be lenders.
Amen.
And from him that would borrow of thee, turn him not away.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, like Benny said this morning, I'm afraid so many times we see a brother in need and shut up our bowels of compassion toward him. I'm going to tell you what James said.
Amen.
How dwelleth the love of God in that man.
Amen.
Now, I'm preaching tonight. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm preaching.
Amen.
Just running a little slow today because we're all a little slow today.
Yeah.
Just run, and it's soaking in like a good downpour rain. I like it that way.
Amen.
You're listening. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you see your brother in need, and shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in you?
Amen.
That's right. That is, if you have got the means of meeting that need,
amen,
and draw back from meeting that need, how dwelleth,
amen,
the love of God in you?
Amen.
I won't say for love can't be. Love can't be bought. Love is divinely wrought. Love is divinely taught. But love should be divinely sought.
Yes.
Somebody say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, in verse number 10 of our text, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more.
Amen.
I want to read you something. I'll tell you, do everybody well to quote, to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, oh, I'm a great preacher, I understand all the mysteries and I have all knowledge. And although I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I beseech, bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can walk in faith if you want to. But if you don't have love, you're like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Preachers might get up and become great orators. Now, I hope I've not learned too late in life. But I'm telling you, if we understand the Word of God and preach the Word of God, and there's no love in our heart for those that we're ministering to, I'll tell you, we're nothing, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm about done. You just bear right with me. It ain't even 8 o'clock yet. I'll have you out of here by 12. Oh, y'all listen now. Three things. How can you touch your brother? As touching brotherly love. How can you touch one another in this room tonight? When everybody listen carefully right here. By prayerful supplications. That's how you can touch somebody in love. Pray for them. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you found a place in a closet of prayer and prayed for every member of Island Ford Baptist Church? That cut deep to the quick on some of you, didn't it? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe the Bible teaches that it doesn't. I mean, all through Paul's writings, Paul was a great warrior of prayer. And all through Paul's writings, he is telling those believers in Thessalonica. And he's telling those believers in Corinth how that he prayed for them on a continual basis. I'm telling you, if he set that example, we ought to follow it. You want to touch your brother? Start coming on Saturday night and praying for him. Call out every name in this church. Those that you know that are struggling, call out their names. Show some brotherly love. Those that you know that have got troubles and problems, call out their name. Divinely intercede for them and pray for them. I'm going to tell you, God can do through prayers what I can never do through preaching. God can do through prayers what I never do in the example that I try to set before you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can pray for God to help them.
Amen.
Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1:11. He said, ye also helping together thy prayers for us.
Amen.
Some of our people in here tonight need help.
Amen.
And God is a present help in trouble. But when was the last time you put the God of glory on somebody's trail that you know is in trouble and got to have some help from God?
Amen.
The last time you prayed for them.
Amen.
For help. Now I'm telling you, some of you in here tonight need help.
Amen.
There's only one way we're going to have revival is those that need help to get help.
Amen.
And you get help, you're going to have to want help. But I'm convinced of this thing that God hears and God answers prayer. And if you're genuinely saved by the grace of God, God can bust your rotten hide and make you like it. God can get you right. Amen. He's a present help in trouble. Was it Brother David that said, the Lord is my helper? Amen. Colossians 4:12 about a man named Epaphras. Bible said, Paul said, who is one of you? A servant of Christ. He saluteth you, always laboring fervent for you in prayer.
Yes.
That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God.
Yes.
When was the last time that we all got on an altar and prayed for every member of the church and asked God to make them perfect, that is, mature and upright in their Christianity.
Yes.
And to make them complete in their Christian life. For that is to say, fulfilling everything in their life that Bible teaches and letting them fulfill everything God's commanded them to.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this to you tonight. When you start pulling back, when you've had jobs and start pulling back from your jobs and getting slack on your job, you're backslidden. And you're on your way backwards, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how small or how insignificant it might be. I learned a long time ago, people quit what they're doing because they're unhappy.
Yeah.
And when they quit, just one step backwards.
Yeah.
Amen. Epaphras was praying they'd stay on the fine line.
Yeah.
They'd stand in the heat of the battle.
Yeah.
That they would walk uprightly. That they would walk in holiness and walk in righteousness.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. There's one other verse on that now I want to mention. I move on. Won't be too long. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers."
Amen.
How can you touch your brother? Paul must have loved him. He was praying for him.
Yep.
Let me ask you tonight, do you love your brother enough to pray for him?
Yep.
You ladies on the prayer group, ladies, prayer lists, sisters, whatever you call yourself, prayer sisters, prayer warriors, whatever you might be.
Yeah,
what do you call them? Prayer partners.
Yeah,
do you really pray for your partner?
Right.
Or just from time to time set a little box of something down out there on the table?
Yeah,
thank God for the little box.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it, I love little boxes, but I'd a whole lot rather have somebody praying for me on a daily basis than to have a box.
Yes.
You really pray for that person's name that you've got, ladies?
Amen.
If you're not, you don't have much brotherly love about you.
Right. Amen.
Sisterly love, pardon me.
Amen. Amen.
I want to say the second way, pray for help,
yep,
but pray for healing. How many times have some of come on in the house now?
Yeah.
We have got a number of people in this church that are diabetics.
Yeah.
Oh yes, bad diabetics. We got a number of people in this church that has affliction tonight and they have sicknesses in their body. Let me ask you, when's the last time you prayed for them?
Yeah, right.
Oh, somebody said, "Now, preacher, I don't have to pray that way." I beg different you, Father. James said in James 5:16, "Confess your faults one another and pray one for another that you might be healed." Now, I'm going to tell you, if God put that in there, it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't believe in divine healers, but I do believe in divine healing.
That's right. Yeah.
I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for Awful Roberts and that crowd.
Yeah.
They can't heal themselves.
Yeah.
But we've got a physician that can heal the sick.
Yeah.
There is a bomb in Gilead. And yeah, God said that we ought to pray one for another that we'd be healed. When's the last time that you men whose wives are sickly in the church, when was the last time you prayed for?
Amen.
That's my next point, I think, praying for your help, mate.
Amen. Amen.
You women that have husbands that are sick, when was the last time you prayed for them to get healed? Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, you just meddling around a little old penny ante stuff." I've got news for you. I've learned since I've been under the weather a little bit that my physical body means a great deal to me.
Amen.
And I've also learned, as the body goes 99% of the time, so is that inner man on the inside of you.
Amen.
You've got to be real spiritual to overcome a sick body and go on with joy in your heart and serve God. I prayed for my wife right there last night. Her shoulder, she just can't hardly use it. Her left one. I prayed for her last night.
Yep.
I've been cramming white horse pills down there about as big as that coffee cup. She don't like that, but I've been making her take them.
Yep.
One of them ibuprofens or something like that. 800 milligram ones. Got soreness out of that shoulder.
Yep.
Praying for you, sis.
Yeah,
we'll find out if my prayers will touch God. And I'm telling you, I'm praying for her.
Yeah,
you've been praying for your help meet. 1 Peter 3:7 said, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And I take that in the context that it's written in that it is their prayers one for another that he's talking about.
Amen.
By the way, that's brotherly love.
Amen.
If your husband or wife is saved, you're brother and sisters in Christ, as well as husbands and wives. If Praying for your wife? Sir? If you ain't, you're a sorry egg sucker. And if you women ain't praying for your husbands, let me put it this way. You're a sorry egg suckeress.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm going to tell you while I'm there, I'm going to tell you something else. Some of you women want a better husband, pray for him and God will make him better.
Amen.
You think God can't take some old rotten boy and make him a better man, a better husband? Try him.
Amen.
God can take that woman, make a better wife out of her. Pray for her, sir. If she's not living up to par, learn to pray for her. God bring her up to par.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, man and his wife loving one another and praying for one another, they're not going to have too many arguments.
Right.
They can settle things before they get to the argumentative stage.
Amen.
I want to say forcefully there, pray for the herald. Somebody said, preacher, you're... No. I'm talking about praying for the messenger. Paul said in Colossians 4:3, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Come on in the house, children. How much of you prayed for your pastor that God would open up that door in McKenzie, Tennessee and give us a voice, give us an utterance down there to declare the mystery of God? Have you prayed that way?
Amen.
Have you prayed that God would give us that station and give your pastor another means of preaching the gospel? See, we're far from being real Christians.
Amen.
I can tell by looking at some of you, you ain't even talked to God at all about it. Much less asking God to give your pastor a voice in McKenzie. Let your preacher preach to McKenzie. Let him hear something besides a heavy rock metal music. Let him hear the gospel one more time. Amen. Pray for the herald. I want to say the second way, and I'm about done. Or you about done me. Or I about done myself, one of the two. Not only by prayerful supplications, by touch of your brother, but by a friendly spirit.
Amen.
You'd be surprised what a friendly spirit does. You realize that the Bible says, and I know you do, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly.
Right. Amen.
There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Are you friendly?
Amen.
You'd be surprised what just a pat on the back to somebody might do.
Amen.
What a smile on the lips and the face.
Amen.
What a thank you from time to time. A word of encouragement.
Amen.
Just being friendly.
Amen.
Being overly friendly if you have to be. Telling somebody you love them. When was the last time you told a member of this church you loved them? Well, preacher, that's too mushy for me. No, it's too spiritual for you.
Amen.
You're carnal.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. Friends are to salute one another.
Amen.
3 John 4:10, the Bible said, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee.
Amen.
Greet thy friends by name.
Amen.
You know what that word salute means? Come here, Brother Jerome. No, that ain't what that means.
Amen.
I'm going to show you what Strong says that is.
Amen.
To enfold in the arms or to warmly embrace.
Amen.
That's right. I'm telling you, it shocked me to death here several years ago when Paul Manus was here preaching. Some of y'all remember Paul here. After the service, I stand right back there in that doorway past the water fountain. He comes flying back through there and grabbed me right by the head and kissed me on the cheek before I knew what was going on.
Amen.
I said, what on earth you doing, Brother Paul? He said, the Bible said, greet one another with a holy kiss.
Amen.
Well, praise God, do that to your wife, but don't do that to me a whole lot. Handshake be all right.
Amen.
He had big lips.
Amen.
But That's exactly what that means, to enfold in arms, to embrace. That's why you see me a lot of times. I shake a man's hand and hug his neck a little bit. That's saluting the brethren. My God, some of you won't even speak, much less saluting. Some of you don't even talk to one another. I can't comprehend that from a child of God. If you got the love of God in your heart, I just can't imagine that. It's not even biblical. Are you listening? I want to say in friendship, there's sacrifice and selflessness.
Amen.
A friend loveth at all times.
Right.
And a brother is born for adversity.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you love somebody at all times, you have got to be selfless.
Amen.
Make sacrifice. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I work in here part of the days, most days, with these two men. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a sacrifice on my part to be around them guys. Get along with them. No, we get along great. We really do.
Amen.
As far as I know, there's no riff. There's no junk. I think we love one another. We talk to one another. But I'm going to tell you, they're fixing to lose my love if they don't live up to their end of a bargain. We had a little deal going. I said, if you lose, you buy Brother Hall a free meal. And I'm going to tell you, they lost and they ain't bought the meal yet. Are you listening? You can't be selfish. A friend loveth at all times. That means in the good times and the bad times. That means when those around you seem a little disgruntled, a little bit out of joy, love them!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you how to gain somebody's respect and friendship. I mean, just love them to death.
Amen.
Love them to death.
Amen.
How do you think I've got to love my wife the way I do? She's loved me to death, buddy.
Amen.
She's made it where I've got to love her.
Amen.
Now I got to where I can't stand to be away from her. Went in there a while ago and started talking to her, and she said, I want to ask you a question. I said, what is it? And she said, have you been taking them pain pills? I said, no, why? She said, because when you take them, you talk a lot. She said, or is it just the hall blood in you? Just the hall blood. I said, that's all. And I'm going to tell you, if you want somebody to love you, love them. Smother them in love. I tell you, they can't hate you a great deal if you love them. I'm going to tell you something. Old Judas Iscariot, he denied the Lord and betrayed the Lord. But when he realized he had shed innocent blood, he went out and hung himself. You know why? Because there was something down in that heart that he knew he was wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to tell you what I believe it was. He knew Jesus loved him.
Amen.
By the way, when Jesus kissed him on the cheek, he called him friend.
That's right.
Now, if you can learn to love your enemies and call them friends,
amen,
you've got somewhere spiritually.
Amen.
Now, I'm closing right here. The third way you can touch your brother is by being supportive.
Amen.
See, what do you mean, preacher? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with him. Our one member be honored, all the members rejoice with him.
Amen.
Paul said in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and
amen,
weep with them that weep.
Amen.
That's just God's way of saying you need to be a support that your brothers can lean on.
Amen.
You know somebody in the church that's taking a hard blow lately? Somebody that's kind of down and out of it?
Amen.
Love them and let them lean on you. Be a support to them. When they can't stand on their own spiritual feet, help them stand! Let them lean on you a little bit. And I really believe, I want to say this, don't your head get big, but I really believe there's a lot of folks here that if some people would let them, they wouldn't let them lean on them. But some people would. There's people here that love enough, they'd let somebody lean on them a little bit.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen.
You know somebody's going through a valley? There's people here that will let you lean on them if you'll just submit and do it and quit being so bullheaded.
Amen.
Touch your brother as touching.
Amen.
Brotherly love. Have you touched him in your prayers?
Amen.
Touched him in your friendship?
Amen.
Trust him by being a support to him? Paul said, well, I don't even need to teach you on that because God has already taught it to you. Let's stand together.